The Geek Cave, brought to you by BuzzTime. Great minds drink alike. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. And GameStop, power to the players. Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to the Geek Cave podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
Gaming.
Okay.
Yay. Yeah. Welcome to the gaming segment of the show. Hopefully you listened to the comic segment. If you didn't, shame on you. Go download it. But also a reiteration that we are having a contest this month, and we're going to be naming three winners. And just you'll have to download the movie segment and listen at the end of it to find out what the contest is. But while you're here, stick around. We've got some great stuff. First, telling you about our sponsors, BuzzTime, great minds drink alike. They're the people behind those great trivia games you see at restaurants. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today. And GameStop, power to the players.
As a side note, I said all of that in the comic segment, but if you don't hear it, Darren edited it out to make me sound like a drunk idiot.
To be fair, you are drunk.
Yes, but I'm not an idiot.
We'll start with...
There's a fine line, and I'm clearly on the non-idiot side. Not by much. Okay, I'm straddling the line, but still.
We'll start.
Please continue.
As you know, GameStop is one of our sponsors, but they recently announced plans to close more than 100 stores. This is due to the fourth quarter not having been very good for them. They say the console sales were a little bit down, and that overall, their competitors had more aggressive sales. GameStop does say that they plan on, changing things and getting better. But you might want to check with your local store to see if they are on the chopping block. And, of course, our hearts go out to those who are affected by this. Now for some positive news. First of all, I forgot to squeeze this into the comic segment, but it is gaming related as well. If you own an Xbox One, for the first week of April, you can download free comics from IDW. IDW has launched a comic app that will allow you to read the full IDW catalog on your console, on your TV. And to kick it off, they are offering 10 specific volumes for free. And by volumes, I mean graphic novel-sized volumes. That includes the first volume of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
It's good.
The first volume of Transformers Robots in Disguise. First volume of Judge Dredd. And the first volume of Ghostbusters. So,
and this is exclusively on Xbox?
Exclusively on Xbox One.
Yeah, I'm still not going to buy one.
So all you have to do is download the IDW app. It's free. And then until April 7th, now remember, this podcast goes up a few days before April 7th. But until April 7th, you can get it absolutely free, these books. And the app does plan on adding exclusive content and the ability to purchase IDW, get this, TV episodes and movies in the future. Hmm. Which means that IDW is working on TV shows. So there's that.
Interesting.
There's that little bit of news. 2017 Video Game Hall of Fame finalists have been announced, and it's pretty much a who's who, like every year. This is the third year for the Hall of Fame. Donkey Kong, the original arcade game, Street Fighter II, Windows Solitaire, which everyone has played at some point.
It's true.
The best way to teach people how to use a mouse ever devised.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The original Mortal Kombat game, Myst from 1993, the first-person RPG, the original Pokemon game, Red or Green, Resident Evil, Tomb Raider, the original 1996 game, Final Fantasy VII, the first Halo game, Wii Sports, and Portal. Now, these are just the nominees. About half of them will actually make it into the Hall of Fame. This is the second year in a row that Tomb Raider has been a nominee, for example. Hall of Fame winners will
always
be announced.
A bridesmaid.
Never a bride.
The Hall of Fame winners will be announced in May, and they'll join the likes of Pac-Man, Pong, Super Mario Brothers, the original Zelda game, that kind of thing. So, that's exciting news. Let's see, where else can I go? Okay, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, they're getting a Telltale series. Justin got to play Batman, the Telltale series. So, and, you know, you've played the Back to the Future ones as well.
Oh, yeah.
I really like The Walking Dead and The Wolf Among Us, and Batman turned out well. So everyone knows what we're talking about. Guardians of the Galaxy is getting their own Telltale series. First episode is April 18th on everything but the Nintendo Switch. However, Telltale says that they might end up releasing a Switch version later on. They'd been working on this game well before the Switch's specifics were finalized.
But only if you're good, Nintendo.
Only if you're good.
Well, it's really kind of too bad because those kind of point-and-click games are really... they'd be ideal on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, and I don't...
I need to be able to touch things.
And I don't see why they wouldn't do that eventually, especially because it does sound like Telltale at least has the Walking Dead series planned, as well as Wolf Among Us planned for the Switch. So we'll just have to kind of keep an eye out. If you pre-order it on PS4, you get an exclusive theme, like a wallpaper and some stuff, but that's really it. Again, first... episode drops April 18th. You can buy it at retail. It'll come with the first episode and a download code so you can get the rest of the games.
I kind of want to I kind of want a Guardians game where at least at one point you play as Groot, but it's one of those things where somebody interacts with Groot and you have four options to answer them, and each answer would have a different outcome on the game, but they're all I am Groot. But they have a different connotation in gameplay and you have no idea what's what.
Well, here's hoping. Here's hoping they do that.
Endless fun to see where that goes.
If you've ever bought a third-party video game controller after 1989,
yes,
then you've owned a Mad Catz controller or peripheral. If you ever bought Rock Band, the video game, or Beatles Rock Band, you've owned a Mad Catz peripheral.
Actually, I play on the Guitar Hero peripherals.
Oh, all right. Well, fair enough. But it looks like Mad Catz is going away. They filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy last week. Now, that's different from Chapter 11. Chapter 11 means that you plan on eventually reorganizing and getting your shit together.
Also, it's further in the plot.
Yeah. Chapter 7 basically means you have no plan. You're just going out of business. And that's what's happening to Mad Catz. All of their employees are getting let go. And the company is going away. Been around since 1989. They were a co-publisher for Rock Band 4. But Rock Band 4 didn't sell nearly as well as everyone expected it to. They lost, I believe, $11 million on the game. Actually, no, it was $16 million. Correction.
That's even better. It's, oh, man.
Yeah, so unfortunately... again, our hearts go out to the Mad Catz employees who were affected by this, which is all of them, and you
literally.
Know, just a sad story. But to wrap up my news, I've got a really great story for you.
All right.
So you guys are familiar with the story that came out around March 24th that Zelda's Ocarina of Time is getting an orchestra cover.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
On vinyl as well as...
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's called Hero of
Time.
For
the audiophiles out there.
It's called Hero of Time. It's coming out on CD, digital, and vinyl. And it is a full orchestral version of the soundtrack of Ocarina of Time, one of my favorite games, and probably one of everyone's favorite Zelda games.
For those
but
who like
not,
Zelda,
yes.
They like the Ocarina of Time.
Yes.
But that's not it, guys. We have some exclusive details here. Not only is that happening, but the reason that's happening is Nintendo is remastering Ocarina of Time.
Again?
And they're, again, in full HD, and they're going to put it in a combo pack with the newest Zelda, Breath of the Wild. The reason they're doing this is, come this August, Nintendo is re-releasing the Switch, which has been a success, but you know how Nintendo likes to enhance their handhelds, and the Switch is technically a handheld. Well, instead of calling it, you know, like the new 3DS or whatever they're doing, this will be the Switch On, and it'll have everything that you know from the Nintendo Switch, the disconnecting controllers, the touchscreen, all that, but the tablet will... The bad-tasting games.
Woohoo!
But the tablet will run in full 1080p, and when it's connected to a TV, it can output in 4K resolution. Hmm. And the best part is, if you are an existing Switch owner, and if you held on to your receipt, you can contact Nintendo, and you can upgrade for $50. And that is coming out in August. The Switch On... you know, I'm not usually a fan of stuff like the PS4 Pro or the Scorpio that's coming out. I could get on board with this.
Well, I don't know what to think about that. I mean, good for the early adopters, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
But come on, Nintendo was the trendsetter for the PS4 Pro kind of thing.
Yeah, with the Wii U.
I mean, they did that way back with the Wii U.
Yeah, you made that argument to me, yeah.
Yeah, well, you think about it. The PlayStation and Microsoft have both been aping Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
For a while.
Aping. Okay.
Monkey see, monkey do.
Oh, okay.
You know, in terms of motion controls and, you know, handhelds and so forth. And so way back when, you had the Wii, and the Wii was a good console. It was very popular. A lot of people enjoyed it. And Nintendo said, hey, we're going to release a console it's different, but it's the same. You'll get to play all your Wii games. It'll be just fine, except...
digital and vinyl, and it is a full orchestral version of the soundtrack of Ocarina of Time, one of my favorite games, and probably one of everyone's favorite Zelda games.
For those
but
who like
not,
Zelda,
yes.
They like the Ocarina of Time.
Yes.
But that's not it, guys. We have some exclusive details here. Not only is that 4K resolution, and the best part is, if you are an existing Switch owner, and if you held on to your receipt, you can contact Nintendo, and you can upgrade for $50. And that is coming out in August. The Switch On... you know, I'm not usually a fan of stuff like the PS4 Pro or the Scorpio that's coming out in August. The Switch On. You know, I'm not usually a fan of stuff like the PS4 Pro or the Scorpio that's coming out. I could get on board with this.
Well. I don't know what to think about that. I mean, good for the early adopters, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Upgrade for $50. And that is coming out in August. The Switch On. You know, I'm not usually a fan of stuff like the PS4 Pro or the Scorpio that's coming out. I could get on board with this.
Well. I don't know what to think about. Your PS4 games, except this is going to be optimized for virtual reality.
Yep.
You know, and high dynamic resolution and 4K gaming. So, and of course, Microsoft is like, hey, the Xbox One, you know, it's really good. And we're going to release something. It's not a new console. You'll be able to play all your Xbox One games, but this is going to be, you know, optimized for your 4K gaming and just following in Nintendo. You can bet that we're going to see some kind of story come out later where PlayStation and Microsoft are going to be like, hey, you know, if you still have your PlayStation 4, here's $50 on the store, you know, if you go and get a PlayStation 4 Pro. You know, it's like it'll be $50 off, you know, by the time you get all the games and so forth.
Right.
They're going to remaster, like, the original Gears of War with a fully orchestrated soundtrack.
They did. And
they did? Oh, well.
Yeah, that's done.
That's done. Never mind.
I played that one. Most of that one.
Strike that joke. Never mind. It wasn't funny.
Edit that joke out. We'll sweeten that joke in post. You know, that's a comedy term. It means to add sugar to.
All right. So, there we go. That's all I got.
Oh. Well, I'm still playing Horizon Zero Dawn. I've put a whole bunch of hours into that. I am considering it the spiritual successor of Fallout 4. Giant open world, side missions aplenty, lots of errands, you know, random encounters throughout the world, some of which will kill you dead in little time.
Yeah.
The need to run a lot. Just with the added bonus of, you know, dinosaurs. I will also throw out that cauldrons are awesome. Climbing tall necks is fun. Bandit camps are amazing. And if you finish the bandit camps completely, then you get a fun little extra fight to join in. That's kind of amazing. Also, if you... there's no difficulty-based trophies. So, like, if you play on super hard, you don't get extra trophies for that.
Hmm.
You can play on the easiest setting and still get all the trophies. If you get all the trophies, if you get the platinum, then you also get a custom theme for your PlayStation 4.
Nice.
Like, that you can download and put on. I think Bloodborne did the same thing, but only crazy people tried to to platinum that. So, last month, I'm going to go ahead and say, get Horizon Zero Dawn. If you're a PlayStation 4 owner and you enjoy open world games, get Horizon Zero Dawn. It is magnificent. I would suggest that the story is actually stronger than Fallout by a fair bit.
Oh, yeah.
I watched you play some of it last night. It looks like a beautiful game.
It is probably the prettiest game on the PlayStation right now.
You seem to certainly be having fun and I'm shooting giant T-Rexes with bow and arrows from the top of a mountain.
Yes, because that is the safest place from which to shoot giant robot T-Rexes. You can't convince me otherwise. They can't climb mountains. Granted, they also run away whenever they get damaged too much. As you do.
Oh, God, they're learning.
Oh, no. But game-wise, you know, between Breath of the Wild and Horizon Zero Dawn, I would probably enjoy Breath of the Wild. But I look at that one, and I played a little bit, and I watched Darren play, and I've watched some video of the game, and I'm just like, you know what I don't see in this game? Robot dinosaurs. You know what I see in this game? I see a whole bunch of broken weapons.
Yeah.
So, if you don't like your weapons to break, and you like robot dinosaurs... Horizon Zero Dawn is where it's at.
Chad's done.
I'm done. I'm out.
I've got a couple of reviews, but first, Justin, do you have anything?
I don't really have any news. I mean, as I've stated before, we all know I'm not much of a gamer. I do play occasionally, but I don't really get a chance to play because of my son. He's very needy in that he has to be the center of attention every frickin' minute of every frickin' day. He's four. So he's, you know, typical. But I had a chance to play a little bit of, oddly enough, Ocarina of Time.
Oh, nice.
And he enjoyed it. I mean, he's big into superheroes, so once we explained to him, okay, this is Link, he's the hero, blah, blah, blah. He kind of got into it, and he actually sat down and watched me play it, so that was heartwarming. Also, apparently, he has Elite Pad. It's like it's an educational handheld for kids. You know, you play games on it, but they learn stuff. And he saw this advertisement for, of all things, Barbie's Malibu Mystery, and it helps with reading comprehension. But the way the commercial is set up, it was, you know, it's very mystery centric. And he likes stuff like that. He likes Scooby-Doo, you know, finding the bad guy and whatever. So because we're good parents, we got it for him. Also, he needs to learn how to read. Little freeloading bastard. I'm reading books to him every night. He needs to read me one. So we get it for him. And he's excited and happy. And
this Ayn Randian world, you are a parasite.
Yes. And 5 minutes into playing, he looks at my wife and goes, "This is not what I expected." That's a direct quote. I'm not paraphrasing. My four-year-old said, "This is not what I expected." All right. And I'm just like, it's a Barbie game. It's exactly what I expected. So, yeah, kids are fun.
Most of the time.
When they're asleep.
Or reviewing Barbie games.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I should have recorded it. That would have been great.
Should have sent it into Mattel and made sure they put that as a boxed quote for the next Barbie game. Not what I expected.
Most four-year-old boys agree that this is not what I expected.
Use it as a selling point, yeah. I mean...
But I'm like, he really wanted it. It's like, okay, I don't tend to conform to gender stereotypes. If my kid wants to play with dolls, fine. As long as he's not using the dolls to physically hurt somebody, I don't care. Just, okay. You were not entirely happy with it. That's cool. It's not your cup of tea.
Whatevs.
But he's still playing it. He's stubborn about it, but he's...
Got to get those trophies.
Got to get those trophies.
I was considering for a while getting the Hannah Montana game on PS3 to bring to Extra Life just for Darren to play for his, so he could get another platinum, because it takes 4 hours to platinum through just gameplay.
Yeah.
It's not they're all story based games.
Well, it can't
story based trophies.
It can't be any worse than that game he reviewed 1 year, the Bratz Pets Horses 2. Although he gave it a glowing review, I for one couldn't see the appeal of it. But you know, whatever.
Oh. Well, speaking of reviews, so
transition.
So
what a segue.
So for starters, I'll start with the game that I had more fun with on my phone, which was Super Mario Run. Now, this is something Nintendo released to the iOS crowd a while ago, and now it's made its way to Android devices, so I can finally play it. And it's exactly what you expect. It is an endless runner game, except with Mario, and somehow, even though all you do is tap the screen whenever you want him to jump, it works, and it's fun, and it's holding my attention. And yes, the full game is $10, so I would say play the demo first before you decide to drop $10 on this. It is a Mario game, and it does have a level of polish that's a lot of games in the app stores don't, but $10 is kind of high, I would think.
Now, other than tapping the screen, what do you do? Is that it?
Yeah, just like Mario Runs, you tap the screen to jump over enemies, you tap the screen just to jump. That's it. That's the only button is jump.
Okay, because it just the name implies that you're supposed to get out and do something, like Pokemon Go. It gets people out walking.
I know,
and
that's what everyone was thinking at first when Nintendo announced it. But no, it's basically you tap the screen, he jumps, and you know he runs on his own. It's Mario platforming simplified. It's the way Nintendo pitches it is it's a Mario game you can play with one hand. It's actually a Mario game you can play with one finger, but you know,
it makes it sound like a not good review.
See, and that's the thing, it's like it's a shallow game, but I still really enjoyed it, if that makes sense.
So now I really want somebody to make an app that they take the entirety of the original Super Mario Brothers world from 1-1 to 8-4, and attach that to, say, your GPS and make a workout thing, because it can tell when your phone can tell when you're jumping and when you're walking and how far you've gone and how fast and so forth. to where you could like if you're watching the screen and you have Goombas and you can jump over them or on them.
Nice.
Or get coins or something. I think that would be kind of amazing.
Yeah, but I can also see people looking at their phones and running and causing problems.
Of course we can, but that's how we weed out the weak.
This is true.
And the stupid.
I'm hoping for a sequel to this where you get to play as Peach, so Darren can say that you can play Peach with one hand or one finger.
You can unlock her as a character. So,
of course you can.
Now, the other game I'm reviewing, and this is kind of a review in progress, like Chad's Horizon Zero Dawn. Chad particularly knows how much I love the Mass Effect series.
Oh, I absolutely
I
do.
I am.
He was crushed when I didn't enjoy Mass Effect 1 the first time
I was a little disheartened,
crushed.
Yeah.
It almost ended a friendship.
Yeah, I remember having to console him.
Now, Chad did end up going back to Mass Effect 1 and liking it.
So, I did.
You know.
And played almost all the way through Mass Effect 2 before I lost interest.
Stay strong. Stay strong.
Haven't picked that one back up yet. Turns out, don't really need it. Mass Effect 1 was a great story. Had a beginning, middle, and end.
Well, kind of.
And with the ending of Mass Effect 3 being so disappointing to so many, I'm like, why should I get my hopes up? Mass Effect 2 just leads into Mass Effect 3.
Well, you know, between you...
It's like Back to the Future 2. If you watch Back to the Future 2, you have to watch Back to the Future 3. They go together.
Yes.
It's one long movie.
Yes.
If I finish Mass Effect 2, then I have to play 3. And then eventually I'd have to play Andromeda. And from what I understand, Andromeda is just... Well, let Darren tell you.
Well, for starters...
Well, wait. Between you not being a big fan of the Mass Effect series, and whenever I go to Chick-fil-A with him, I specifically don't order the chicken... I'm surprised we are still partners in this, because he should hate us.
What can I say? We're good cuddlers.
We are.
Anyway.
By the way, for those of you who don't realize, Darren loves chicken and Chick-fil-A. He will eat there every day if he could, except Sundays, because they're closed.
Then he eats a Jack in the Box.
Then he eats a Jack in the Box, yeah.
Except he can't. His nearest Jack in the Box is... How far away is it again?
2 hours from me is the closest.
2 hours? That's sad.
It is. It really is. Mine's 5 minutes.
You know, and the thing is, I don't think I've ever eaten at a Jack in the Box.
It's not bad.
I've never been to one.
It's not
that
bad.
I know of.
It's certainly better than McDonald's.
Finding Applebee's dumpster food is better than eating at McDonald's.
We'd
going to one of those uppity grocery stores that throws their food away and then coats it with ammonia is better than McDonald's food.
We'd like to both.
I don't know.
Say,
the chocolate chip frappes are good.
We'd like to both say hello and goodbye.
The McDonald's
to our
coffee
sponsors.
Area is good.
What weren't you going to review a game?
I was.
What happened to that?
I was.
Us.
All right. Now, speaking briefly to Chad saying that Mass Effect 1 has a beginning, middle, and end, Andromeda actually picks up right around the same time Mass Effect 2 does and just goes in an entirely different direction, storyline-wise. Where...
Is it better?
I'm getting to it.
Okay. That's a no.
It's hard to tell. See, here's the thing with Mass Effect Andromeda. It is and isn't a sequel to the Mass Effect franchise. It's a side story that also takes place hundreds of years after the events of 3, but in a different galaxy, so they can't ever possibly reference what happened in 3 because they wrote themselves into a corner with that one. So you play as a Pathfinder whose job is to find habitable worlds for, you know, alien species, including your own. And the storyline, well, that's pretty much it. You run into some bad guys, and the bad guys are bad, and their motivation is, we're bad. And that's it. That's it. You run into one... friendly new species and one not so friendly new species, but otherwise it's all of the alien races you remember from the original Mass Effect series And all of the music and all of the really good combat and none of the good animations. Because it seems like they hired a team of ferrets to work on this one for the animation standpoint. It's just, there is a scene early on in the game where you're encountering the person who's in charge of the colonist effort. And she's like yelling at you and all this stuff for no reason. And then eventually she stops and says, "I'm sorry, my face is just tired from dealing with all of this." Now, the reason that line is so funny is because she never changes her facial expression during the entire conversation. She barely blinks. She looks like she's had just Botox everywhere, or she was stung by a number of bees. Regardless, her face just doesn't move.
Wow.
It just doesn't move. And this is the problem with Mass Effect Andromeda. Now, BioWare has said that they're going to reveal plans to deal with the criticism, but it just feels like a rushed, unfinished, and dare I say it, fragile game. Multiplayer is great, just like it was in Mass Effect 3, and the combat's good. But when I'm exploring, or even if I'm just doing a side quest where there's no combat whatsoever, I just have to go from one point to another point and talk to someone, I have this foreboding sense that whatever I do, I'm going to break it. Like, I'm going to just crash the game. And it hasn't happened to me. It did happen to me in multiplayer, oddly enough, but it hasn't happened to me yet. It just feels like I'm going to break it. And coming back to the facial animations, you've got what look like unfinished character designs where when people, you know, when people talk, our lips kind of change shape. That's just what we do to make different sounds. These people look like they're imitating ducks at some point, because the lips just stay pursed out as they talk, like they just got collagen implants.
Oh, yeah.
Characters.
Yeah. Oh, come here. Give me big geese. Big geese.
Some characters look great from afar, but as soon as you get close, you want to put a bag on their head. Others,
I've been there.
Others, when you, you,
thank you, Droopy.
Others, when you prompt
it. No, this is my Droopy.
When you prompt a dialogue.
I'm happy.
When you prompt a dialogue.
When you prompt a dialogue.
The camera zooms in, and it's trying to be this whole, like, oh, we're just going to bring you in a little bit closer to the character. But I've had at least two instances where the camera went through the back of my head and ended with two eyeballs floating over who I'm talking to.
That's gross.
This is the Assassin's Creed Unity of the Mass Effect franchise. And I say this as someone who loves Mass Effect. And I'm still going to finish this game because, damn it, I bought it. I paid for it, and it's Mass Effect, which I guess says something about me, but I'm not liking it, guys.
Bummer. Because how many Xboxes did you end up buying specifically for Mass Effect games?
I bought Xbox 360 for the first Mass Effect, and then when they announced it was coming out on PS3, the sequel was, I sold my Xbox to buy a PS3 to play the sequel. And, you know,
found out it was going to be a sequel like a year later. So he bought the Xbox 360 again to be able to play it a year.
But this says how much.
And then sold it.
This just tells you how much I love the series and how good I think the series is.
$600 worth of love.
But.
You know, there are some places they get you a heck of a lot more than a game for $600 alone.
You know, I just...
love you long time.
Well, it's still a game, but in a completely different way.
I can't, in good faith, recommend this game to a Mass Effect fan.
Oh.
Not until BioWare fixes some of the stuff that they fixed. Because the story is bland, uninteresting, and will be forgotten fairly quickly. The characterization is just kind of meh. The most interesting character that is in the game is a voiceover from a character that was in the first trilogy. and it just feels unfinished. I remember when EA announced Mass Effect Andromeda was coming, they announced the launch date, and then they proceeded to release zero details up until like a month before launch, and then we finally got some gameplay video. I think I know why we had that radio silence for so long. I don't think the game's done.
Well, in their defense, ferrets are hard to wrangle and keep on point. So if that was their animation crew, you know.
And, you know, there was a controversy over some people on the internet, and we've already addressed that people on the internet are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Some people found out that some of the new animators were women, and immediately it had to have been the women's fault.
Son of a bitch.
And that, of course, turned out not to be true because these women, A, were not rookies, and B, one of them that was under attack wasn't even involved in the production of the game. So, you know, don't be jerks. Don't be evil. Just BioWare, fix it.
Can we just agree that having a penis does not make you superior?
I think we knew that. As far as I can tell.
I know. I'm trying to get everyone on board with this.
Well, really, what we need is for our listeners, you know, the kindest, gentlest, sweetest-smelling listeners in the podcast world.
Yes.
To tell their friends and family members these things.
Yes.
Because we're not telling anybody anything they don't already know.
This is true.
Yeah. If you have
change
a dick,
happens
you don't
with you, my friends.
If you have a dick, you don't have a reason to be a dick.
This is true. Mm. Unless your name happens to be Dick, but that's a whole different way of being a dick.
Grayson.
Yeah.
Then you be you.
Yeah.
Dick.
All right. That's all I got. If you guys don't have anything else, just a reminder that we do have a contest going on. Three winners. All you have to do is listen to the movie segment to find out what the contest is. And then we'll be in touch. Or be in touch with us and... Okay, just don't touch us. You know what I mean.
Or touch us.
Wink!
For our sponsors, GameStop, BuzzTime, and Shirtosaurus, and for these guys, thanks a lot for listening. Download the movie podcast right now.